Light in this present darkness. This is Abounding Grace. Stumbling about in the darkness? Join us now for a time of light in the Word with Pastor Chris Gordon.
The great contrast that is put before us here on Abounding Grace this week in John chapter 4 is between that of the Samaritans and the hometown crowd in the reception of Jesus. The Samaritans in John chapter 4 did not have one sign performed by Jesus to them, but they believed him. They believed him because of the word that he spoke. And you'll see that at the end of John chapter 4, verse 42. Then they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." And it says, "And many more believed him because of his own word." That is all set in contrast to Jesus coming back to his hometown, and they want to show. We looked at this past week on Abounding Grace that there is this problem in deeply set religious groups of wanting a show, turning from satisfaction in the word to want to be wowed. That's the problem. In this context, a man comes to Jesus who has a sick son 15 miles away. And the son is in Capernaum, and he asks Jesus in front of the crowd to heal his son, to come and to heal his son. Now, we left off yesterday with Jesus' sharp response to this. "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe." Wow. How many people out there today, maybe some listening, who are caught up in the signs and wonders movement? And Jesus has just said, if you're caught up in that, you won't believe him at his word. This is really powerful. Sharp reply, isn't it? Because all around him is the hometown, and Jesus is looking into their hearts. He knows they don't believe. He knows it's all superficial. He knows it's all hypocritical. They have no interest in his word, their need, his delivering power from their sin. It's all temporary. It's all in the here and now. They're not heavenly minded. They are earthly and worldly, and they want to show. So it's a fascinating scene and a tragic scene because it's showing the problem of wanting a validity to their identity, who they are, who they know. Unlike the men from Sychar, this crowd's full of sign seekers. This crowd has come for a smooth talker and performer. Well, let me ask the question today. Does Jesus agree with the drive in us for signs? Why do people want signs and miracles? Why is this such a desire today? Why are all over these evangelists going out and having healing crusades? Why would somebody want something more than the word? The answer's easy. If the woman at the well's satisfaction was found, now think about this. Her satisfaction was found in the bad sins of divorces and adultery and men jumping from one idol to another, which to the Jews was just reprehensible. Here we see the great danger in the hearts of those who are religious and not filled themselves with living water. They want satisfaction in anything and everything that visibly enhances their entitlement as the people of God. Not a deep dependence themselves on Christ who can give them living water, not a dependence on his grace and gospel, the one who is full of grace and truth, but satisfaction. Satisfaction in the outward things that marks and validates them and gives them a sign. This is a subtle idolatry in us, something to stoke our ego, something that if Jesus does among us, gives us a certain kind of pride of attachment. We do it right. And in the whole process, we don't come to see our need for Jesus Christ to deliver us from our sins. We don't hear his word. We're not truly filled. And that's why we're looking for the next great show. See, this is what happened in John 6. Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. So in other words, he dropped bread from heaven. You going to do that, Jesus? Jesus says, I am the true bread from heaven. Yet you've seen me, and you do not believe. They didn't want him. They wanted him to validate them. They ultimately wanted something more, something greater, something more exciting, something beyond his word, which is the only food for the soul. That's why he rebuked them. But I'm amazed at what happens here. He says, you will by no means believe unless you people see signs and wonders. And then what does he do? Well, he gives them one. But I want you to think about how he gave them one. I sat and pondered this. He condemns their empty sign-seeking, and yet how wonderfully compassionate and long-suffering is. He gives them one, but I want you to notice how he gave it. Verse 49. The nobleman said to him, Sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus said to him, Go your way, your son lives. As I think about the love of Christ, how low he stooped for these, even these sign seekers, he didn't have to do this. But my friends, did you notice how he did it? This crowd has come out to see him. He knows they want to show. He knows their problem. And he didn't make a big display. He did it in such a way that he required faith. No one could validate if the son was healed. Can you imagine the crowds? Well, that was uneventful. And yet the father had to believe him at his word. That is the point. The father had to believe at the word. The apostle Paul declared his great purpose in gospel ministry when he said, Woe is me if I do not preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here at the Linden United Reformed Church, since 1997, we have had the vision of cultivating a Christ-centered, gospel-preaching, confessionally reformed witness that seeks to preach the whole counsel of God. We invite you to join us at our fellowship at the Linden United Reformed Church. Visit us at the web at lindenurc.com to learn more about who we are and what we believe. Now, this is a real teaching moment for those caught up in the signs and wonders movement. Jesus condemns their sign seeking. Unless you people see signs and wonders, he says, you will by no means believe. And then he gives them one, but he does it in such a way that it required faith in the word. This crowd had come out to see him. He knows they want to show. And he didn't make a big display so that everyone would see and then believe. No, no, no. He did this sign in such a way that it required faith in the word apart from the sign. Now think about that. Jesus says, your son is healed. Now, he's 15 miles away. No one could validate that. The crowds probably sat there and said, well, where is it? We can't see it. That's uneventful, Jesus. And yet the man was given a choice. Reject the word or believe the word. Now, how often has the Lord done certain things like this for us? Many of you may have had sick loved ones, and for the sake of your weakness, he heals all the time. Psalm 103. He heals all our diseases. This is common to us. Doesn't mean we will not die. He has purposes in that and purposes in a loved one's death. But ultimately, we all will die and all our loved ones. Temporary healings are just that, temporary. But he does care for us. He does hear us when we cry. Parents, when you face these things, spouses, when you face these things with a loved one, he hears. He knows you're weak and he often gives healing. But you see, he does that so that you might know of his power and that you might know that this king has the power over death and sickness and the grave, and that ultimately everyone who believes in him because of his death and resurrection, they will be raised. But he does all this healing today with one goal, that you would not believe unless, but that you would believe him for the word that he has spoken. Now, how does he do healing today? How many of us see whiz, bam, someone is healed with a lightning bolt? You know, if you look at these faith healers, they're not doing anything that miraculous. It's all big chicanery. No one has raised the dead. No one has made, for instance, a bald man have hair. It's all a big scam. Now, here's the thing. Jesus gives healing. But what does he do? He requires you to pray to him. He drops your knees to come to him. He puts you through an intense trial to wean you off of the superficiality. And how does he heal? He uses ordinary means, like Gideon's army. He doesn't take 3,000 men and make a big display. He takes 300 men. He uses little things so that the glory would be to him. And that we would not get caught up in all the externals, but live by faith. So through ordinary means, he heals. That's why we have healings that come through the wisdom of doctors today. So here we go. All the servants of this nobleman saw that the fever left him, not real glorious outwardly. But in doing this, Jesus' goal is to draw them to faith. Your son is well. He's 15 miles away. Who can validate that? No one. The Father has to believe Jesus at his word. You see, I believe that in the midst of the hardest group yet in John's gospel, the hometown crowd, he gives us the glimpse of one who did have true faith. And here it is shown in about as weak a state as possible. This weak faith is unlike Jairus, who said, "Just speak a word, my daughter will be healed." It's unlike the Syrophoenician woman who said, "Even the dogs need to eat from their master's table." But this one does show us true faith nevertheless. Faith is of a mustard seed. He believes, right? He believes. He believes in what Jesus said. Notice the emphasis there. So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. That is the key to this text. He believed the word, like those Samaritans and unlike the sign seekers who had gathered as the crowd looking for a show. The only one recognized here is the one who believed his word. And what a word it was. The boy was 15 miles away. Jesus gave the thought, and in his body, there was a healing. At that hour, he was healed. In fact, the next day, many went home. But this man had obviously trusted that word so that he went the next day. He goes home. The servants come running. "Your son lives." "When did it happen?" the man asks. "Yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him." So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said to him, "Your son lives." He believed the word. Now let me apply this in closing today. I've seen a great danger in my heart revealed to these people. You know, John's gospel is the gospel of belief. Nicodemus, I see the Pharisee in me. The woman at the well, I see all these alternate fountains that I try to go to without Christ. And yet today, I have something really exposed. That I've had the great privilege all my life of having Jesus teach me and instruct me. I must confess that one of the worst things goes on in my heart. That I often run the danger of giving little honor to him because I'm a hometown boy. And if I don't get what I deserve as an entitlement sort of thing, I grow cold. And today, you see, my friends, we're all called to trust Jesus at his word, to believe him at his word, receiving the words of life that declare that Jesus is the Son of God. Founding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. As always, we give you an invite to join us for worship. This Sunday, the worship service times are at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. If you'd like to hear more sermons or resources, we have much for you at the LindenURC.com website. Again, 360-318-0429 is the phone number. Thanks for tuning in. May the gospel continue to richly bless you.